Welcome to our service for Palm Sunday, when we commemorate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. We begin, how else, with the great hymn, ride on in majesty. And for the last time this year, our special penitential section for Lent. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you were sent to heal the contrite. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you came to call sinners. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you plead for us at the right hand of the Father. Lord, have mercy. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and have failed to do what we ought to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for Palm Sunday. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love toward the human race sent your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility, and also be made partakers of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Darlleniad o lyfr y proffwyd Isaiah. Rhoes yr arglwydd yw i mi dafod un yn dysgu, i wybod sut i gynnal y diffygiol a gair, bob ore a mae'n agor fy nghlust i wrando fel un yn dysgu, a Agorodd yr arglwydd i'w fy nghlyst ac ni wrth wynebau sinnau na chylion ôl. Rhoddais fy nghefni'r cyrwyr am cernau i'r rhai a dyna'r farf. Ni chyddias fy wyneb rhang gwaradwydd na ffoer, a mae'r arglwydd ddiw yn fy nghynnal. Am hynny, ni chaf fysa'r hau. Felly, gosoda fy wyneb fel callestr a gwn am cywilyddir. Y mae'r hwn sy'n fy nghafio'n hau wrth law. Pwy a ddadlau ym herbyn? Gadewch i ni wynebu'n gilydd. Pwy am gwrth wyneba? Gadewch iddo nesau ataf. Y mae'r arglwydd ddiw yn fy nghynnal. Pwy am condemia? Dyma air yr arglwydd. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
From Matthew chapter 21. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfil what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, Who is this? The crowds were saying, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Here ends the reading. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the last few months, as some of you know, I've started doing some serious choral singing again. I've been very grateful for the invitation, which came completely out of the blue, to join a group in Cardigan called Cantori on Abertavi. One of the nice things for me is that all the repertoire we've done so far has been religious, sacred, as musicians usually say, which is the repertoire with which I feel most at home. As many of you know, for many years I sang with a Christian ensemble called the New English Orchestra, which was a very directly Christian ministry, both here in the UK and in Europe, especially in two locations, Salzburg and Rome. In their different ways, Salzburg and Rome are both places of pilgrimage. We played and sang in Salzburg at the time of the Salzburg Festival, which is really a time of musical pilgrimage for the many thousands of visitors who come to the festival each year. If I'm honest, I think we felt, though, that the festival had a touch of idolatry about it. The trappings of wealth and power were obvious in the way some of the festival goers dressed and the limousines in which they arrived at the Festspielhaus. Had these people really come for the love of music, or did they come to be seen? And especially from our perspective, did they have any idea of the God who is the source of all beauty and meaning, in music as in the whole of life? After more than 20 years of visiting Salzburg, in the last 10 years or so of the NEO's existence, we began to spend a week or two each year in Rome. Somehow, the weeks in Rome were different. They were times of extraordinary blessing. We'd played and sung successfully and been well received in Salzburg and in other places, both in Britain and abroad. But the response of audiences in Rome was quite different. From the first, they were profoundly moved and deeply appreciative. I came to think that the difference was that they were a pilgrim audience. Mostly Roman Catholics, of course. They'd come to the home and heartland of their faith, and they'd come longing for spiritual blessing there. Often, I suspect, they hadn't found it. It's all too possible in Rome, above all places, to wander from one great, rich religious building to another, to look at the wonderful architecture and the fantastic sculpture, and yet somehow to remain spiritually untouched, to go away with the same spiritual thirst that you came with. Then these pilgrims would come into one of our daytime recreatios, as we called them, and there it was. This was something they would remember. This was a taste of the living water. They were often very deeply moved. There would be whole groups of them in tears. The Christian Church was born in the interval between two great pilgrim festivals of the Jews, between the Passover and 50 days later the even greater pilgrim festival of Pentecost. On Palm Sunday, the festival of Passover is approaching, and the pilgrim crowd throngs the road to Jerusalem. The holy city is the home and heartland of their faith, and they've come longing for spiritual blessing. Through the crowd, a donkey carries the new teacher everyone is talking about, the successor to John the Baptist, the one to whom thousands have flocked by the lakeside and on the hills, who teaches with a new voice, not like the scribes and Pharisees, but with authority, and who has the common touch. The Amharic, the ordinary people of the land, hear him gladly. Many of the pilgrims have come, probably hoping to hear him. Even some Greeks who've travelled hundreds of miles to Jerusalem approach the apostles Philip and Andrew and say, Sir, we would see Jesus. And here he comes. Hosanna, they cry. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It has become traditional to sneer at this welcome. Are these the same people who in a few short days will be shouting, "Crucify him," forcing Pilate's hand? Surely their welcome was just superficial excitement, a passing thrill with no real meaning or significance. This is holiday faith. It won't change anything when they go home. Maybe. Or maybe, like you and me, they were just confused. I'm reminded of George Herbert's poem, Prayer. There's a phrase from it that always stays with me. Prayer, Herbert says, is the heart in pilgrimage. A pilgrimage, a journey to a special place of our faith, is a kind of sacrament. It is the physical expression of a spiritual longing, a pilgrimage of the heart in search of heaven. Somehow, deep within our hearts, we know that there is more to life than that can be experienced in the humdrum here and now, and in all those times when we can't make any sense of it all, times like right now, the longing in our hearts for meaning is not diminished, but somehow increases. Pilgrimage, like prayer, is the response of faith to that longing. In the Celtic Christian tradition, in which Wales played so large a part, the idea of pilgrimage was fundamental. Our own cathedral city of St. David's was, and to some extent still is, a shrine to which pilgrims go. You can find stories of Celtic Christians, washed up in their simple boats on the shores of the Irish Sea, pilgrims who had no idea where they were actually going. They just knew that they wanted to be on pilgrimage. And that, it seems to me, is completely authentic. There's nothing wrong with it. Sometimes in all of us, this longing of the heart is uncertain, inchoate, confused. But it is not shallow. Our hosannas may be as much a cry of longing as a cry of faith. On that first Palm Sunday, as the Lord listens to the cries of the pilgrims around him, all his ministry shows us that he understands the crowd. What most clearly distinguishes the response to him is the sense, as Mark puts it and we've mentioned already, that the common people hear him gladly, not least because he opposed the religious teachers who seemed to think that their calling was to impose burdens on others too heavy to bear. Whereas for Jesus, his calling was to lift the people's burdens. "Come to me," he says, "all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Perhaps some of the crowd will turn against him in disappointed hope when he is arrested and arraigned before them in a few days' time. But it was some weeks since he had set his face towards Jerusalem to die, knowing full well the power of the forces arrayed against him. Amid the tumult, the quiet donkey is both the symbol and the embodiment of his gentleness and humbleness of heart, plodding steadily onwards, taking Jesus towards the destiny which he has chosen, and in which he invites us all to follow him. Amen.
Forgive our foolish ways.
It's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. En tad yr hynnoed yn y nefoedd sancteiddio dy enw, deled dy dernas gwneled dy wyllus, megis yn y nef ddechlu ar y ddear hefyd. Dyro ni heddiw ein barod beunyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion fel y maddaiwn ninnau ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni brofedigaeth, eithu gwared ni rhag drwg. Can i seiddo ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoliant yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Our intercessions today are an extended form of Kyries. When I say, let us pray to the Lord, please make the response, Lord have mercy. Let us pray. We stand with Christ in his suffering. For forgiveness for the many times we have denied you, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Christian people, that through the suffering of disunity, they may grow a rich union in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who make laws, interpret them, and administer them, that our common life may be ordered in justice and mercy. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who still make Jerusalem a battleground, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who have the courage and honesty to work openly for justice and peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. for those in the darkness and agony of isolation, that they may find support and encouragement. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who are weighed down with hardship, failure, or sorrow, who feel that God is far from them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who are tempted to give up the way of the cross, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That we, with those who have died in faith, may find mercy in the day of Christ. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy upon us. Amen. The Lenten Blessing. Christ crucified, draw you to himself, to find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen.